Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The postseason is here.
An opportunity for our program to take another step forward, and that's the next step in the evolution of this program is to try to win the Pac-12. We've been champions of the South now 2 years in a row, and so the next step is try to get over that next hump.
They earned this opportunity. You know, had to do a lot of things, play a lot of good football teams to get to this point in time, and now it's here, and they'll be ready.
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Herbert, play action to throw, looking downfield, going toward the end zone. Touchdown! Johnny Johnson the third.
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Beautiful, beautiful day outside. Thanks for being with us. Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fam. Sprague's journey to Vietnam has begun. He will be back, I think, right before Christmas. We've got 2 weeks to go, and then I'm on vacation, then Swigard's on vacation, then Sprague gets back. December's always
wait,
a hectic
wait, 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 wait. I'm working.
Oh, you're working. That's right. You're going to Hawaii.
Isn't that yes, what it is? Yeah, you're going working.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, working.
Working hard.
Give me a break. Nice little Hawaiian Christmas vacation. You'll be living the dream down there. So December is always hectic, but it's going to be a fun one. Lots to talk about the coming weeks, including the Pac-12 championship game on Friday. I do want to mention something briefly before we get into the rankings tonight. This is kind of cool. Now, we have let our feelings known about the Oregon scoreboard app.
Yes.
You get it.
Big fans.
Big fans.
Big fans.
Big fans. Not a fan of Minnesota not covering last night, but still big fans of the app. Well, they got something going on tonight. They are doing the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard launch party tonight.
Woohoo!
So this is happening at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, which we are very familiar with. We've done fantasy football drafts there. We've done fan madness there. Been there too many times to count over the years. 225 Southwest Broadway. It's going to be going on from 6 to 8 p.m. So basically, here's what's going on. You can come celebrate the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app at the Independent. Watch the Blazer game. They're playing the Clippers tonight, so that should be a good one. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed. You can make it interesting with some wagering while you're there. If you arrive with the scoreboard app downloaded, they'll give you a $10 free bet to have some extra fun with, some money to wager on. You can bet on the Blazers or a game of your choice. Doesn't matter. Sounds like the Blazer dancers are going to be there, too. That's always a positive. You can watch televised sports, including the Blazer game and all the other stuff going on tonight. The first 50 fans to show up will have the app will get a limited edition swag bag filled with scoreboard merchandise. Also, sports-themed raffles will be happening throughout the evening. You have to be 21 years or older, of course, to attend. So that's going on tonight at the Independent. Shout out to our fine folks over at the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. We're good friends with them, and we've loved talking to them and using the app. What is the line on that game tonight? I have not looked at it.
It's currently 8. Let me check for you right now.
Okay, do we got any movement there?
Let's go look.
Do we have any load managing going on tonight?
I haven't been made aware.
Okay.
As we scroll down here.
Because that's always the tough part whenever you're betting on the Clippers.
Blazers are 8-point underdogs right now. Mm. And the over-under, 231.5.
God, they've been off for a couple of days. That 231.5 number is intriguing because Portland's finally got it going offensively. And the Clippers, by the way, did you see in their last – I don't know if it was their last game, but it was the last one I saw. They put 150 up on the Wizards.
Yeah.
They scored 150 points. That's like – those are video game
numbers,
they
got when they got everybody rolling out there
– dear Lord.
They are a handful. Because the minute you go, okay, we got Paul George we got to take care of.
Right.
We got Kawhi we got to take care of. Oh, yeah. Who's guarding Lou Williams at that point?
That might be my bet of the day. What'd you say it is? 230?
231.5.
231.5. I like that. I'm going to take the over tonight. So go hang out at the Independent tonight. We love the folks over there as well. We've done a ton of events over there. It's going to be a fun one. Some gambling tonight. Watch the Blazers and the Clippers. Tonight, also, the other big thing going on in the sports world that will start kind of the night – for everybody. I think there's also a big college basketball thing going on. The old ACC Big Ten Challenge, I think, is tonight.
Yeah, I think Ohio State, North Carolina are hooking up.
Yeah, good little game. So that's going on tonight as well. But at 4:30 or I guess slightly after 4, we're going to get the college football playoff rankings released. And, I mean, it's a big one. Now, it doesn't mean it can't change going into next week because everybody's playing big-time games. Essentially outside of Clemson. I mean, we'll have to wait and see where Virginia's ranked, but that one's a bit of a dud.
They'll conveniently slide into the 20s.
At 9-3, yeah, they'll be 20-something, so Clemson's got another win. Although Clemson's going to kill them. That's the most boring championship game I've seen in quite some time. But everybody else has a pretty intriguing matchup. You got Ohio State playing Wisconsin in the Big Ten. You got LSU and Georgia, of course.
Is that really intriguing?
I mean,
they housed them the first time.
I know. It's tough to beat a team twice. I'm reaching. I grant you that. But at least it's a couple of ranked teams in the top 12, or should be somewhere in the top 12. You got Oregon and Utah in the Pac-12, and then Oklahoma and Baylor. I discounted Baylor, but they got off to a big lead over Oklahoma and blew it. And then they blew out, I think it was Texas, by smoked Texas a couple weeks later. So Baylor's still sitting there with only one loss on the season. So that's happening in the Big 12. Here's my concern, though. I feel like a lot of people are, and granted, look, this starts with Utah needing to beat Oregon. Like that's the obvious statement. And
yes,
LSU needing to beat Georgia. Because if Georgia wins on Saturday, doesn't matter what else happens. Those are your four playoff teams. LSU's not getting bumped out of the college football playoff. I argued this last week, and I think that it's the thing that you most need to watch tonight and where the teams fall. They are setting the stage for the Big 12. I think last week, when you look at the rankings, now Oregon obviously lost, so they dropped down big. Baylor randomly rose 5 spots last week, right? Like they lost a close one to Oklahoma. They kind of hung around with one loss. They beat Texas, and beating Texas was enough to jump them up 5 spots. Like they leapfrogged Florida, they leapfrogged Wisconsin, they leapfrogged Michigan. All these teams that are ranked behind, just whoop, shoot them all the way up into the top 10. They won again this weekend, so they're a one loss team. And Oklahoma was already sitting one spot behind Utah. This week, Utah did blow out Colorado, so you give them the credit there. But Colorado's not a marquee win. Oklahoma State's a team that's ranked in the top 25. So Oklahoma just had a win over a top 25 team, and they did it convincingly, too. That game was never really in doubt. It was one of their better performances, I would argue, of the season. And they already kind of set this stage last year. I think the Pac-12, and again, this is granted that LSU wins and Utah wins because both those need to happen. I'm terrified of Oklahoma jumping Utah.
Yeah, tonight is more important, quite frankly, than next week's. I think tonight the playoff committee will set up
what they want to see happen.
How it will fall,
yeah,
based on what happens in the conference championship.
Where
game.
Does Oregon go for that win over for Utah? Because you got to see where Oregon's at.
Yeah, does Oregon get close to number 10?
Right, because Michigan lost ahead of them. Alabama lost, but I don't think they're going to fall behind. I don't see Alabama dropping that far. They'll probably move ahead of Minnesota, I would think.
If Oregon jumps to 10 or 11, then I think that's far enough where if Utah is fifth and they handle things in the Pac-12 championship, then I think they're in.
Here's the fear. What if Oklahoma jumps Utah tonight?
Then I think the Pac-12 is panicking.
Which I wouldn't be shocked at all if it happened because, again, Oklahoma just beat a top 25 team convincingly on the road and Utah played Colorado.
Yep.
That was the unfortunate part. Now, I know we're against it already. Here are the resumes for the year. So just do with these what you will, but these are the resumes just to consider tonight with the rankings coming out. Both teams are 11-1. Strength of schedule for Utah, it's 90th in the country. For Oklahoma, it's 93rd. Again,
even.
You're splitting hairs there. Turnover margin, if you care about that, Utah's plus 11, Oklahoma's minus 5. Utah is 5-1 against bowl eligible teams. Oklahoma 4-1 against bowl eligible teams. Again, splitting hairs. Here is the key, though, is I think depending on what's more important, Oklahoma's better offensively. I think we would all grant just with Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts.
Well, go ahead and finish.
All those guys. Defensively is where the difference is because Utah's defense on the year is giving up 11 points per game. Oklahoma's is giving up 25.
Yeah, there's something you'll see as you start to see resumes in the graphics and they put stuff up. There's something called game control, which is in your particular games, how dominant are you? It's a metric that they have, and I don't know what all gets to it, and I wish that the playoff committee would put these things up so we can understand what it is. And this is one of, you know, they want to have things behind closed doors. For some reason, they want to keep the media and the public somewhat in the dark. They want some vagueness, and it gives them cover.
It moves the goalposts for them every week.
But it would, I think it would help their case more to understand. You don't have to say, okay, we put this over this, or there's a priority of this first, then this, like a tiebreaker system. But if they educated the media and the public more on these are the instruments and the metrics and the raw data, how it's being viewed and presented to them in the room. This is what game control is.
Right.
This is how the strength of schedule is computed. And those are made available. Now we're all basing our arguments on the same information. That's the biggest frustration. We all have these debates and everything. And I hear people talk about brands and all that. I don't buy. I am going to take the committee at face value that when they go in that room, they are all looking at the same information. It is all based on everything that's simply gone on for this season, and that previous year's stuff is being left outside. I'm not willing to make that jump. I think when they go ahead and figure out who's going to be on the committee year to year, they make that painfully clear. We hear from Heather Dinich all the time. That was last year. That's a media argument. That's sure. Not being discussed in the room. And I have... If it comes out that it's not, that there is some sort of, you know, people still have the stereotypes or they can't overcome whatever belief they have in their head about a team based on its name, and then they shouldn't be in the room to begin with.
Right. And the tough part about this, too, because I think that there's differing opinions on this. Yeah, I want to keep up for the Pac-12, and I would argue that Utah deserves the spot. I just think when you watch them, they feel like they've been the better team. Both teams, by the way, losing. Kansas State's 8-4 and USC's 8-4. So that to me is a very similar loss, both of them on the road. And I think if you actually watch those games too, Utah was in that USC game. Like they didn't get, Oklahoma got housed. It was like the Oregon-Arizona State game, right? And they made a late comeback, onside kick, all that kind of stuff. But they were getting dominated for three quarters of that
Oklahoma
game.
Oklahoma has the worst loss.
The worst loss. And USC, by the way, still ranked in the top 25.
And Oklahoma's loss is worse than Baylor's loss.
It is. It is. But that's the thing, though, that Oklahoma's going to have going for it is that the Baylor didn't lose again because they already beat Baylor on the road. That's a top 10 win. And if they beat Baylor again, that's going to be two top 10 wins. It's dumb as it is over the same team. That would be the case. And Utah doesn't have a win right now over a top 25 program. So this is going to be fascinating to see how it turns out tonight. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Oklahoma jumps Utah. When I watch them, I feel like Utah's the better team. They just have been in control of more of those games. I feel like Oklahoma is lucky to be unscathed to where they are with the close win over Iowa State. TCU gave them a battle. They've had some close, weird back and forth. You know, the Baylor game, as we mentioned, down big, needed to come back. Utah's been more, if the game control matters, they've been in control of more games. But Oklahoma's probably going to have the better resume at the end of the year. Utah's getting held back by a down year in the conference. But just keep an eye on that tonight. A lot of people seem to think Utah, just if they win and LSU wins, they're in. I don't think so, man. And I think it's going to be telling tonight where Oklahoma is, where Utah is, where Baylor is, and where Oregon is, considering the opponents in the conference championship games this weekend. We'll get to the Blazers coming up bottom of the hour. Carmelo Anthony, Western Conference Player of the Week. Are we buying into what we're seeing? We've got to move a step closer to deciphering the closing song that we're going to go with going forward. We'll do that to close up the show. But now it's time for the mail sack. If you got any questions, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Sports or non-sports related, we'll get to them coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. A couple of quick thoughts. The Better You Today text line. Somebody said there has to be bias in the decision-making from previous years even. When Minnesota and Penn State played each other, earlier, they had almost identical records and opponent schedule. Penn State was ranked 7th or something, and Minnesota was 18th. Now, there's for sure bias that goes into it. And a lot of it, too, that's frustrating has to do with the preseason perception of a team. Like, they say that that's why they wait all year to come out with the rankings, but that's, of course, a part of it. Like, Minnesota and Baylor, to me, were prime examples of that. Baylor was a one-loss team, and until, like, 2 weeks ago, they were ranked outside of the top 13. They're a one-loss team in a Power 5 conference. And they were ranked outside the top 13. Yeah. Minnesota was the same thing, man. Like, I know they played nobody in non-conference, and if you want to keep them outside of the top 4 or 5 because of that, I don't have an issue with it. But to have Minnesota at, like, what were they, 8-0, and they were ranked, like, 19th in the country?
Well, again, this is what I go to. If we had access to the data, the metrics on a spreadsheet that they were looking at, what is it in there that they have that in the course of 1 week, how much does one big victory
sway
you from moving them however many spots up?
Yeah, and one listener texted in, I agree with this too. He said the selection committee, to your point, is secretive by choice. They want to be able to be hypocrites regarding standards so they can keep blue bloods and dump low-rating teams. Now, I don't think that's the entirety of it, but I do think there's something to that. I do think the committee considers Oklahoma or Utah.
Here's the thing.
Like, that's part of the equation here.
Right. And when you get down in it, especially at this part, but you have, in order to get people that have high quality resumes of in whatever field that they have been in to go and put in the time and subject themselves. I mean, if this was a case where each individual ballot was released the way AP polls are, you would not get people to do it because they don't want the scrutiny, no matter how much money you pay them.
Which is dumb.
And I don't even know if these guys, I think it's volunteer. Maybe Mullins gets something for running it.
Being the kid chair or
whatever.
I don't
think they're making serious, this isn't like a six-figure sitting on a board. I think these people are wanting to do it because they have a passion and love for the game.
Yeah.
So you have to give them cover. It's no different than solving a big political issue. You have committees where there's an equal number of people from both sides and then policy wonks that go into a private room behind closed doors because if it's all aired publicly, they worry about the politics of it.
Right.
And so you have to give them some cover. But the information that they're using, that is cover for them if it was allowed to be seen by the public. I think we would have a better idea of how they're coming to their decisions on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, somebody said, P1 Deal texting in, I want to know where Bama lands and if Paul Feinbaum will then argue for an 8-team or a 16-team playoff, which is so true. I didn't get to it today, but Paul Feinbaum, after weeks and weeks and weeks of arguing that Alabama is one of the four best teams, and how dare you say Oregon's better.
Yeah, the dynasty's over.
The dynasty's now over. They lost with a backup quarterback. The dynasty is now over. This, too, by the way, I know we'll get to the mail sack. One last thought on this. Think about this for a second. We are a Georgia went away from potentially having two one-loss Power 5 conference championship teams. Being left out of a playoff.
Yep.
Oklahoma and Utah could both win this weekend, and this whole conversation we're having doesn't matter. Because if Georgia beats LSU, there's your playoff. You all, guess what, too? Wisconsin can beat Ohio State, and it doesn't matter. Ohio State's still going to go to the college football playoff because they were 12-0, and that would be their only loss, and they're not going to bump them out of the top four. Which is just not like, don't even get me started. Okay. Let's go.
Mail sack
time. First one. Did you have more fun doing the night show, the brunch show, or the midday show? I will let you answer this first. You were not on the night show, but you have done afternoon drive. You did our brunch show.
Yes.
And now you've done the midday show. What's your favorite?
Well, it's tough because unlike you guys that kind of focus your day around the show,
you got a lot more going on.
I'm here behind the scenes. I get in around 7:30 every morning, depending on traffic. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have an evening activity, a basketball game, a football game, a coach's show, I roll out of here between 4:30 and 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to a certain extent, doesn't matter.
It's just a part of your day.
It's a part of my day.
Yeah.
What's
your favorite time slot to work in, though? Schedule wise.
If somebody came to me and said you could have, I would want the brunch time.
You'd want that again.
I
it's
think
like 10
that's
to noon.
A great time.
It's kind of early, not too early, but early.
Yeah.
Middle of the morning kind of thing. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think every time slot had its different strengths and weaknesses. Like when we first started as a night show, it was great for me because I was like in my young
20s. Yeah, you were young. You were freewheeling.
I had nothing going on.
After the show, it's like party time. You still have three or four more hours to go.
I'd stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. You wake up at noon. You'd show up to work at 4. Like, I loved it. And then, I got older and somewhat more of a normal life and normal schedule. And the midday show works a lot better for that. So each one has their different strengths and weaknesses. This one's funner. This one is more fun in terms of just the larger audience in that regard. You just reach more people this time of day. But there was an enjoyment factor to doing a night show and having nobody listen and being able to do literally whatever you want with no ramifications. Well, not no ramifications, but very minimal ramifications out of the things we said.
Yeah. I think if you, now, if you had a big production staff, a nighttime show would be the most fun because I think it would be the most sportsy.
Yeah.
And if you had big resources and you had reporters at games around here,
it'd be fun, man.
And that sort of thing,
blah, blah, blah,
and gambling aspect, and you're on late when the lines for the next day come out and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
I think it would fly by and it could be a lot of fun, but it you'd need a big budget and a lot of people to pull it off right.
Yeah. If you're walking across the street, mail sack, if you're walking across the street, there's a car at a stop sign. Who could probably gun it, but decides to be nice and wait. Do you give it a hustle, or do you stay at the same walking gate? It's from Jake.
I'll give it a little hustle.
I'm a hustle guy. I'm a big hustle guy. I'm also
also a wave guy. I will acknowledge. Thank
you. Wave guy. I'm also a go-behind guy. Like, if there's one car there and no other cars, and he's at a stop sign waiting to turn, I'll go behind the car. I don't need to stay in my straight line. I'll allow them to go around. Mail sack question. Is Chris Peterson a Hall of Fame coach?
College Hall of Fame? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, what does it take to, is that like a strict standard? I don't know much about the College Football Hall of Fame.
It's run by the National Football Foundation. Okay. I don't know if there's, you know, certain, I mean, even for the Hall of, like for the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, you have to have played so many years and there's some basic minimum standards of longevity and relevance before you can even be on the ballot.
Yeah, I would say he is.
College Hall of Fame, absolutely.
What he accomplished at Boise, what he did to, you know, take him Washington back to another level. By the way, we didn't even talk about today. He had his press conference. That guy's taking a break. He had the look of somebody that was exhausted. He is. I don't expect him to see him
that
on
was
a sideline.
My first thought was, is there a health issue? That was my very first thought.
Apparently there's not. They keep
Other
saying
than
no.
Just exhaustion.
Yes. Yeah.
Not like medical exhaustion. Just he's tapped out.
He's tapped out. Dirt, whatever happened to the third bro Chacho from way back when you guys were a 3-man 7 p.m. time slot? The third bro Chacho. Old Danforth, you know, we still stay in touch every now and then. Last I talked to him was in L.A. Selling, like, ticket packages for the Kings. That was the latest thing he was doing. So he's bounced around a ton. He went home for a little bit. He did some other radio in Portland. He's tried radio in other cities. So he's bounced around a little bit. But that was the last time I talked to him. He was hanging out down in L.A. He actually just texted us the other day. This is a random story. But the first show we ever did, and this was we told this story recently. It was when Sprague was getting married. So we thought it went terrible and we thought we were going to get fired because the show sucked and listeners were being, you know, mean on the text line, all that stuff. They were mean. And during that show, though, I don't know how he knew her. I think she went to Oregon. I can't remember the connection. But there was a gal by the name of Trista Crick who we had on. We like looked for like a night show. Let's bring a female voice in, have some fun with this. We brought her in. She did the first ever show that we ever did. And she kind of has been behind the scenes over the last handful of years doing video stuff for USA Today. And she just like was in the news recently because she got hired by Barstool Sports and she's like a big time Barstool Sports person now. And so he texted that to us the other day and it was like, how about that?
Yeah.
First ever show. There she is. She's working in New York now. So that was kind of a funny story. That was the last time I talked to him, like 2 weeks ago. All right. Quickly. Wife's mother and sister are coming in for Christmas. Pretty sure her mom hates me. Is there a way that I can enjoy Christmas or am I just looking to survive?
How long are they staying?
That's a good follow up question.
I don't know.
That's brutal, man.
It's tough. I think you can
continue
either
to make overtures?
If you're uncertain, if you don't spend a lot of time, like if they live across the country and you're only seeing each other at holidays or weddings, those sorts of things, and you haven't really spent any time with her, I would say if they're staying for a while, just go right in the teeth of the wind and invite her out to lunch. We need to go out to lunch. Wherever you want to go, whatever, just do that. And if you can't get through a lunch, then, okay, she hates you.
I don't envy that, man. That's pretty brutal.
Don't do a dinner because, one, that can get spendy, and that's in the evening. Lunch.
Sure, sure.
A nice, you know, right in the middle of the day.
Go grab a coffee or something.
Just go, hey, okay. Let me take your mom out to lunch. Go somewhere nice, whatever she wants to do.
I also want to know, why does she hate him?
Yeah.
There has to be, like, is it just a personality?
So unless there was a specific sure. incident in the past, or if it's just the normal...
It just doesn't like you.
Yeah, you weren't the man we envisioned our daughter marrying, if it's one of those things. You're not up to the family standard.
God.
Then, yeah, go for the lunch. Do it early. Do it before you get to the actual Christmas Eve and day dinner and family crap, so you know where you stand.
Do you ever have that problem with either of the...
I've never had that issue.
No, the significant other's families.
I was a little intimidated by the first wife's dad.
Is he like a macho man kind of thing?
Well, he was what you would say a man's man.
Okay.
He wasn't overly macho.
Okay.
But he was just a man's man.
Yeah, yeah.
He was intimidating.
Sure.
But... Once he found out I was a humongous sports fan, then we kind of had some ground there.
Yeah.
So we did a spring break one time in Phoenix because they had a fifth wheel, so they'd go down and whatever. So I got tickets to everything. I took him to like 6 spring training games and a hockey game and a Suns game, and we played golf
over.
And one of the yeah. So
that was it.
So yeah,
that's. Ah, the family dynamics of the holidays. Isn't that great? All right, there you go. Mail sack every Tuesday at 2:15. We've got a couple extra ones we didn't get to there. I'll write them down. We'll get to them next week. Okay, hey, don't look now, Jason Swigard. Don't look now.
Yeah?
The Blazers have won 3 in a row. And Carmelo Anthony was the Western Conference Player of the Week.
I'm going to have you recite James Harden's stats last week.
And Luka Doncic, too.
Yes.
Are we buying into what we're seeing from Portland? They're in L.A. against the Clippers tonight. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, we narrowed down the final four of the new closing songs we're going to play on the show. And we're going to rattle through those coming up in the closing segment. We've got a poll question on that. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague at 1080 The Fan. And this I'm going to do 4 and then 2. Just in case, because a lot of people, you vote for your favorite, then it'll come down to the final two in case your song that you wanted didn't make it. You might have a different vote. So we'll do 4 today and have the final two. And then, gosh, Thursday will be the last show of the week. So Thursday we will feature officially the new closing song of the show. You know, I'll say this. We have been very hard on the Portland Trail Blazers to start the season. Been very hard on them to start the year. Okay, they were what, 5-12? I think the record was.
Yes, they were 5-12 before this recent spate of victories.
The resurgence, if you will. Here's all I'm going to say, though. Okay, I'm going to be fair. When they're playing like crap, we're going to be honest and tell you they're playing like crap. And hey, when they rattle off a couple of wins, they've played better basketball in the last week. Now, hold on. The opponents have been bad. Yes, they played the Bulls twice and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Three times that just they're not good. Okay, so they've beaten nobody during the stretch, but at least they're taking care of games that they should be taking care of. And leading up until that, you couldn't say that. They lost to the Pelicans by 10 with no Zion.
Yes.
They lost to the Kings by 10
they
points.
They lost to the Cavaliers.
Yeah. They lost to the Warriors, right? Like, so let's not act like that's been the case all year. So at least they've improved in that regard. And the other part of it, too, like, should Carmelo Anthony have been voted the player of the week? No. Like, it's dumb. It was a symbolic award. James Harden in the last week averaged 47.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists. Okay, nearly 56.5 is what he averaged. Carmelo Anthony averaged 22 points and 7 rebounds. There's a slight difference there. I think it was mostly a symbolic thing, just the way that he played. He did shoot 57% from the floor. And look, this is when they signed him, you never felt like it was actually going to be the answer. My whole thing was, one, what do you got to lose? The season's already feels like a goner to begin with. You got no other options. Sprague wanted him to go sign Joakim Noah. Like, that's going to fix all their defensive issues. Like, I'm just not buying it. At least it's going to be interesting, and we'll see. Maybe this thing flames out. I'll say this about Melo. So far, there have been no issues, right? I mean, he seems to be a good team guy. He's flowing in the offense. He's not jacking up 30 shots a game.
We don't have any off-the-court nonsense. No
off-the-court nonsense. And, I mean, look, defensively, he's not good. He's never been very good, and he's old, and he doesn't move very fast anymore. But he's fitting well with what they're doing, and so far, a couple of games in, it looks okay. Will you grant that, Jason Swigard?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't make you want to throw up.
That's step number one, right?
Yes. This from our friends at Turner who have the game tonight. You get Marv Albert and Chris Webber.
That's a
and Allie LaForce on the sidelines.
Not a big Chris Webber guy, but Marv Albert. He's biting butts. I'm all over it.
Yes. Sorry. In six games with Portland, Carmelo Anthony averaging 17.7 points, 6 boards, 2.2 assists. The Blazers have outscored their opponents by 37 points in Anthony's 183 minutes on the court.
Remember when we all got all hot and bothered about his plus minus in the first game he played?
Yeah, it was minus 20.
Minus 22 or whatever.
In the 100 minutes, Carmelo Anthony and Damian Lillard have shared the court because Dame was out the first either.
He missed a couple of games.
One or two.
Yeah.
Portland has posted an offensive rating of 122.1 and a net rating of plus 15.4.
The test becomes, look, They have at least turned the corner from being the worst team in the league, right? So now it's like, all right, they're not unwatchable the way that they've played in the last week. Now the challenge becomes what they get this week, and that is, can you do it against good teams?
It looks like the Clippers are at full strength. It is a TNT nationally televised game, so I'm not aware. I've been trying to check, see if there's any injuries or load management on Twitter.
We haven't seen anything yet.
I haven't seen anything yet. And after the latest go round of league memos that were leaked out, I would imagine teams are going, if you've had, days off, which the Clippers played, they played over the weekend. They didn't play last night. So
yeah, they haven't played. They're not back to back, at least. I know that.
No.
Yeah.
So everybody gets a day off. You're at home. So I would imagine you're going to get Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Lou Williams, all averaging over 20 points a game, by the way. Plus Patrick Beverley, according to this, in their first meeting this year, Beverley defended Damian Lillard one-on-one for 3 minutes in the game. In those possessions, Lillard was 0-for-4, scoreless, and 0-for-3 from three, committing 2 turnovers.
That's not good.
When you have a guy in Patrick Beverley out there with those guys who is not concerned about scoring at the other end and can dedicate all of his attention and energy on stopping the other team's best guard, it's going to make life difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
CJ McCollum better show up and play tonight.
Yeah.
And Hassan Whiteside's going to have to match the energy of Montrezl Harrell and keep him off the glass just to have a chance to keep this close.
Yeah, and not only is it the Clippers tonight, but then you get a game against Sacramento at home tomorrow, so you're on a back-to-back. So you're just, you got to try and avoid the back-to-back stuff against the Kings, who have already, by the way, beaten you this year, just beat you back in early November. And then you get the Lakers in town who are playing probably, Milwaukee, I guess, is off to a great start as well. But the Lakers are clicking.
The Lakers, do they still have the best record? I know they took an L here recently.
I think they either have three. So Milwaukee's 18-3 and 17-3.
Okay.
So that's where you're at. Yeah, they lost. They had won 9 in a row, and then they lost their last game. So that's where we're at right now. You know, and I'll say this one last thing about Melo. You know, again, this is like, I'm not shocked he's having a small sample size. Again, it's like, let's see if this thing pans out over the next couple of weeks. I'm still pro-signing him because he had nothing to lose, and so far it's worked out pretty well. The issue I had early on, the plus-minus wasn't great in his first game, but I was fair. It's his first game in a year. I'm not expecting a lot. You look at when they lost to Cleveland, he was 5 of 15. 8 of his 15 shots were three-pointers. Like, he was 0 for 8, just jacking up threes, standing around. That's not the kind of guy that you needed in this offense. And you look in the next couple of games, in Chicago, no, he did take 7 threes, but he was making them, so it's okay. He got a hot heat check, keep riding it. In his last two games in which he's gone for 19 and 23 points, he's attempted 4 threes. Of his 27 shots, only 4 of them have been behind the arc.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
And the other thing, too, is, this Blazer offense is predicated on guys shooting threes. They want to jack up threes. I still have a hard time believing that's the best thing. And,
sure.
He's giving
you a mid-range, though. He's posting guys up.
But he's getting mid-range. He's starting to get to the free throw line a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah,
this is going to be a test. He's going to have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, splitting time, picking him up.
Tonight's going to be really interesting, man. It's going to be really – the way they're playing now, there's a little bit of hope now, and then you're going against the Clippers. Here we go. We'll find out if this thing is for real. They've had a couple – they haven't played since
when. I'm actually going to tune in and watch a little bit tonight.
Okay, he's
just
back.
To see. I might
he's
be
back.
Out before halftime, but
he's back,
I'll give
baby.
It a look.
All right, we got a poll question on this. Are you buying into what they're doing? We'll answer that one. We have a bunch of other poll questions we need to get to. We didn't even have time today to talk about the celebrity that did the butt sunning. We didn't have time for that. I mean, we have to get to that tomorrow. We got a guy who got burned butt sunning, so that happened. We'll answer all the poll questions, and then we'll move closer to figuring out the new clothes song. We'll do it all next as we wrap up the show on 1080 The Fan. Maybe close with some Neil Young, huh? What do you think? Welcome back in 247. Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. They are back after their no-show Monday. We'll get to the closing songs here in a moment. Rattle through some poll questions. Tonight should be a good little night in sports, though, because you get the college football playoff rankings released at 4:30. You have the Big Ten ACC Challenge going on in college basketball. Now, my mandate of watching college basketball only surrounds Oregon. Like, I'm not pushing it quite yet, but I have watched almost every single Oregon game so far this year. I just want to throw that out for the record.
All right.
I have watched almost every game so far. And your TNT doubleheader tonight... Dallas, New Orleans, that do anything for you?
Luka Doncic is always fun to
worth
watch.
Worth the price
right
of
now.
Admission. When's
he was the November Player of the Month, by the way.
Yeah, I mean he's
for
almost
the Western Conference. Giannis won it for the East. Giannis might win it every month for the East this year.
Yeah, good luck with that. By the way, shout out to Toronto as well. I didn't realize Toronto was 15-4 this year. They're having a good year. That's pretty cool.
Pascal Siakam has picked up the slack.
Yeah, that's cool that they're keeping up where they left off. We'll see if they can do it in the playoffs without Kawhi, but that's pretty cool. When is Zion coming back? Have they said anything on that? Have we heard a timetable?
I think it was going to be Christmas time, first of the year.
Okay.
You might start seeing things of him starting to work out.
Ah, yeah.
But I was under the impression it was Christmas time, first of the year.
Okay. So that's game one of a TNT doubleheader, and then you get the Blazers and the Clippers, of course, as we just mentioned.
I got to do some scouting. I got to go watch Cal State Northridge.
Are they on TV tonight?
No, but they've played a couple of Pac-12 teams. So they played Oregon State early in the year.
Okay.
So I've got some stuff stored in the DVR. I got to check them out.
You got to go watch the future opponent. I will say this on College Hoops Notes. One, I saw Oregon women's loss over the weekend for the first time to Louisville.
Yes.
And Oregon State, I believe, their women's team is ranked the highest it's ever been.
Yeah. So Stanford. So the Pac-12 now, three of the top five teams. So Stanford's one. Oregon is three. And Oregon State is fifth.
I'm assuming Louisville is number two?
I think so.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. That's going on. And then I also saw, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Oregon State men are off for their best start since like 1980-something. Are they the 7-1?
Yes.
After one of their best starts in a long time?
I believe it's the 80-81 team that started 26-0, ranked number one, and ruined my childhood. When Rolando Blackman hit the baseline jumper in their first NCAA tournament game.
People don't forget. People don't forget. No. So there you go, a little college hoops. Shout out to all those programs. Let's rattle through the poll questions before we get to the closing songs. You can answer all these, Swigard. The Blazers have won three in a row. Carmelo Anthony, Western Conference Player of the Week. Are you buying into their resurgence? Your three options, yes, they look great. Kind of, ask me tomorrow, or LOL stop, it's three games.
LOL stop, it's three games.
That's where 49% of people voted. 39% said ask me tomorrow. That will be a fun poll question to ask again tomorrow if they find a way to beat the Clippers tonight on the road. Ooh, Rip City Fever is going to be back. Somebody did text in, why do you guys hate Melo? I personally don't hate Melo at all.
No, that's all me.
That's Jason Swigert.
I'm
pro signing. They've been interesting since they signed him. It's given me a reason to watch more games.
I don't. You rose the white flag when you signed him. You're just trying to keep butts in the seats this year by putting something out there that aesthetically looks like a competitive basketball team.
Yeah.
There is nothing long-term about this nature. It is, we don't have enough time.
Nope. Okay. So there's your thought. We know your thoughts on Carmelo Anthony. Poll question. Who is your pick to win the NFC right now? Seattle, San Francisco, Green Bay, or New Orleans?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay. 16% voted New Orleans. That's actually the second lowest. 45% went with Seattle. 33% went with San Francisco. And then we also asked which dynasty is closer to ending, New England or Alabama?
Alabama.
Interesting. Really?
I think Saban's closer to retiring than people are giving him credit for.
Can New England do it without Tom Brady?
Yes. They can't do it without Belichick. I think they can do it without Brady.
Okay. I answered New England. 78% of people answered New England. Okay. So let's rattle through all four of these. You can play like a little snippet of each of them.
Yeah, we'll play them in chronological order as we had them. So first up.
Little Redbone, come get your love. I mean, it's just got a good vibe, doesn't it?
What's the matter with your hair? Yeah.
so far, and as we're playing these, I'll let you know, because the poll question's up. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. 32% of the vote.
Okay.
32% of the vote going to Come and Get Your Love.
I feel like I'm on a game show.
So far, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sing a Song, 18% of the vote.
Okay.
So lacking behind a little bit. That was song number two.
Yeah.
A little Skinner.
Seems more like a Friday close, like if we had...
Yeah, like you're going to party.
Different one on Friday. It was a little too edgy, I think, because you want to, you know, we're sending people, we're trying to help people. It's like, all right, you only got a couple more hours of work. We're trying to re-energize you a little bit.
This seems more
like I'm walking out the door.
I'm going to go crack a bottle
and
go
to the bar across the street.
So this, by the way, so far, the leading vote getter. 35% of people so far going with Skinner.
Wow.
35%. So that was song number three.
Music is a world within itself. Can't you see people all of a sudden just kind of bopping around, going to the copier? You need to pick me up.
So, a little Sir Duke, song number four. This has 15% of the vote, so it's in last place currently. So, those are your four options. Now, this is going to remain open through the start of the show tomorrow. Okay? And at the start of the show tomorrow, we'll narrow it down top two vote getters. And we'll have a little song off in the final segment, okay? Redbone, Come Get Your Love. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sing a Song. Leonard Skinner, Don't Ask Me No Questions. Or Stevie Wonder, Sir Duke. Go vote at Dirt and Sprague at 1080 The Fan. Those are your four options. We already have multiple people saying, one of our P1s tweeted us earlier that if Earth, Wind, and Fire doesn't win, they're boycotting the show.
You'll be back.
And then Cody just tweeted, Redbone all the way. If it doesn't win, I'm burning this whole thing down.
No, you won't.
So go vote. That will do it for us.
You guys can't quit us.
You can't. No, you can't. Well, day one of no Sprager. He's on his way to Vietnam. Who knows where the hell he's at right now. We should have got the flight tracker up and checked it. But hopefully his flights are landing safe.
We're hoping somehow to get word, maybe, that he arrived. So all I want to know is that he got there safely.
His wife will post all over Instagram, okay. So I will know.
You'll verify that
for
us.
I will verify. It'll be all over the Instagram story. So I'm on it. I'll confirm tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, Brian Scalabrine is going to join us.
Yeah.
The what is it? The White Mamba? What's he call himself? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I think that's what it was. Brian Scalabrine, we'll talk some hoops. We'll see how this Blazer game goes tonight. We'll ask him about Melo. And then, of course, tomorrow, it's Wednesday, 12:30, Mario Cristobal, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, will hop on, and we'll talk about their win over Oregon State, the offensive issues, their challenge against Utah in the Pac-12 championship game on Friday. It is going to be a fun, fun Wednesday show. Today, we had Ryan Abraham on. If you miss it, we'll podcast it as soon as we're done at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, and the Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. And what's next? You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.